It is, in fact, a beautiful thing and a wonderful thing that we are allowed to walk in the steps of our Savior, to walk as Jesus walked in this world. We'll be talking about walking a certain way this morning as we get into our lesson in a moment from the book of Ephesians. I want to welcome all who are here. We have a number of visitors with us. We're really glad that you can be among us to honor the God of heaven, to worship Him, and to learn more about walking in His ways. I think about service and the things we've done this morning. The prayer that's been prayed and songs that we've sung, and remembering our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I think about what a somber and yet beautiful and joyous thing that is to remember Jesus, the blood that He shed for us and the body that He gave for us. And now to look into His Word for a while, it's an honor to be able to do this together as the people of God. So again, I thank you for being here. Decades ago, there was a popular song by a group called Walk Like an Egyptian. And I've been reminded of that already two or three times a day when people saw the title of the lesson, Walk Like an Egyptian. That's not what we're going to be learning how to do, walk like an Egyptian. There was a craze that went along with that, you know, and people went around trying to walk like Egyptians. I'm not going to do any more of that. There was also a song a few years ago on a Netflix kids show, Storybots, that had a music video called Walk Like a Camel. And that would be more entertaining to me to try to walk like a camel, I guess. But you do either one of those things and maybe more such things that we might try along those lines. You know, the songs were somewhat humorous. And if actually put into practice, they would succeed only in making a person look goofy. But the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the Ephesians, is not concerned with making us look goofy, but rather godly. And that's his aspiration for the Ephesians and for us. When Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, he is concerned with the way they walk. Not goofy, but godly. Their progress day by day is in this journey through life was to be characterized by imitating Jesus Christ Himself. Throughout the Bible, this concept of walking is used. And whole nations of people walked in certain ways that were or were not pleasing to God. God describes that even in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the concept of walking in a certain way or not walking in a certain way is found in numerous statements in the Gospels and the Epistles. But I just want to focus this morning on what Paul tells the Ephesians about walking and to encourage us to walk in the ways that he is encouraging them to walk. He wants them to walk in good works. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, after talking about the wonderful grace of God by which we are saved, and explaining to the Ephesians that we're not saved by our own works, lest we should boast, we're saved by grace through faith. He nonetheless says that we are His workmanship. We are the workmanship of God. We are created by God in Christ. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God's eternal plan and Christ's redeeming sacrifice were intended to make us capable and motivated to do good works perpetually in our lives, that our lives might be characterized as we progress on this journey that we call life, that our lives might be characterized by good works. Jesus Christ, in fact, gave Himself to this end. Paul indicates it here, but he says it directly to Titus in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 when he tells Titus that He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. We are to be on fire for good works because Christ paid the price for us to redeem us from every lawless deed. Another way to translate that would be every bad work. Every bad thing that we've done. all of the bad works. Christ died to redeem us from those bad things that we have done, to purify us, to make us worthy, if you will, and we'll talk about that in a minute, to do works that glorify God, and to be zealous in doing those works. Folks, we've been turned away through the blood of Christ and bought back from doing bad things in our lives so that we have the privilege to do that which is good. To do that which is good in the name of God, to bring Him glory. To do that which is good for our fellow men, to bring them light and peace. Walking involves maintaining a pace, doesn't it? If you don't maintain your pace, before you know it, you'll be standing and not walking. If you increase your pace, before you know it, you'll be running and not walking. And you'll get out of breath really quick. Walking, your pace in life, needs to be maintained in good works. And Paul again will write to Titus about that. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying. These things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who believe God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to man. And in Titus 3 and verse 14, our people should learn to maintain good works. The word maintain there speaks to me of walking, continuing your pace, and doing that which is good. Every day of your life in Christ should be a day of doing good. We get up in the morning. We have things planned perhaps for the day. There are lots of things that we must do, especially if we're working for a living to provide for our families. If we're parents in the home, moms at home trying to take care of the kids and run the house. But no matter what stage of life we're in, we get up in the morning, there's something to do. And sometimes the things that we have to do press us into a busyness that keeps us from doing the good works that God created us to do. I want you, when you get up in the morning, Paul wants you, Jesus wants you, when you get up in the morning, to realize that this is a day that you need to walk in good works. And find something good to do for somebody. And find something good to do in the name of Jesus. Find something good to do for your soul and for the souls of others. For you are to walk in good works, and you are to maintain good works as characteristic of the life that you're living. There is so much good to do. So many that could use help. So many that could use encouragement. So many people to lift up along the way. There is so much good to do. Walk like an Ephesian is to walk. Walk in good works. And walk worthy of your calling. I'm going to look at Ephesians 3, where Paul makes this admonition, and go away from it for a second after we read it, but then come back to it in a minute. But in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you've heard..." I'm sorry. This should be Ephesians 4. That's a wrong verse and it's a wrong thing I was reading. Sorry. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So here you have, walk worthy of your calling. Walk worthy of your calling. Now I want to go over to Colossians for a minute. We'll come back to Ephesians in a little bit. But the reason I'm going to Colossians is to make this note with you. Something I intimated just a moment ago, that when we walk in good works, that is walking worthy of our calling. And Paul then says to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. As we walk, then, worthy, someone who's walking worthy is walking in good works. That's part of what we see being said in the book of Colossians. That word worthy bothers us. We have trouble with it. Because we're used to thinking of ourselves as being not worthy, aren't we? We are not worthy of what Christ has done for us. We are not worthy in our minds to be called children of God, although God says we are. We often hear saints expressing their unworthiness to serve or even to worship. We've had people think and say, we're not worthy to be here. In some sense, I suppose that's true. In that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've had people say, well, none of us is really worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. And yet, Paul is telling us to walk worthy. How's that possible? If we're so unworthy. We do aspire to walk worthy of God, who calls us into His own kingdom and glory. I want you to look now at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, 11, and 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here Paul says, as he's writing to these dear beloved brothers in Christ, the Thessalonians, new Christians, Paul, having converted them just probably very few months earlier to this writing, he says, you are witnesses in God also how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Christ called those who were unworthy because of their sins, unworthy of salvation because of their sins. He called them into His kingdom by the blood of His Son. And once in that kingdom, our obligation is to walk worthy of that calling. That's what Paul is saying in Ephesians 4, isn't it? To walk worthy of that calling with which you're called. And here the Apostle Paul has exemplified that before the Thessalonians in what he says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, that they saw him walking worthy, the way he behaved among them. He says, you saw how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we walked. To walk worthy then is to walk a life of devotion to God, to demonstrate your devotion. Worshiping, praying, doing things that are of a spiritual nature that enhance your relationship with God. Showing your devotion to Him day by day in your life. Not forgetting to pray. Not forgetting to read His Word. Not allowing worldly things to push Him out of your mind. To walk worthy is to walk devoutly. Is to walk blamelessly in a way in which you're following His will and not your own. And when bad things happen, they can't be pinned on you because you're following the will of God. To walk blamelessly and justly, rightly. And that then brings us back to Ephesians 4. Again, notice, walk worthy, he says in verse 1, of the calling with which you were called, with lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. so to walk worthy of our calling is to walk in the direction of unity. And that involves living lives that are characterized by lowliness, by humility that we've talked about this morning, by gentleness and kindness, by long-suffering and patience, by being willing to bear with others in love. The gospel of Christ is worthy of being advanced in unity by those who believe it. We need to be worthy of that calling. Philippians chapter 1, then in verse 27. Please turn there, and I want to notice a couple of important things that connect all of this together. Philippians 1 and verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Remember, that's how we were called, right? So this is our calling. We were called by the gospel. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Look at the words. What does it mean to walk worthy of our calling? It means you stand fast in one spirit. You're unified. In fact, you have one mind, one purpose. And you are striving together with all of your might, with all of your energies, striving, not just striving yourself, but striving together. You see the unity in this text? The oneness of spirit, the oneness of mind, and the oneness of effort. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. And so here I need to make this point this morning. First and most obvious, and one that most everyone here will agree with, and that is that because of Paul's statement here, if there were not another statement in Scripture along this line, denominationalism is unworthy of the gospel of Christ. Denominationalism is unworthy of the gospel of Christ. And anyone who forwards denominationalism is not living and walking worthy of the gospel of Christ. Secondly, and the point that's going to be harder to see because it hits closer to home, in and among the Lord's churches, the churches of Christ, when we do not strive together with one mind for the faith of the gospel, we are not worthy of the gospel of Christ. This business that it's okay for there to be divisions among the people of God because that's just the way it is, God's going to wink at that, is not biblical. Our purpose, our walk, must be to focus on the faith of the gospel. And there's only one of both of those, and they're the same. The faith of the gospel. And strive for that, and teach that, and live that, and share that. And all of us are one for that. That's what's worthy. And anything else falls short of being worthy of the gospel of Christ. Walk worthy of your calling. And walk in love. Walk in love as God has shown us how to walk. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Walking in love involves serving others sacrificing ourselves for them, just as Christ did. He's shown us what it means to walk in love. Through love, we serve one another. Galatians 5 and verse 13. Walking in love means giving ourselves for others and their benefit and their welfare. Walking in love means forfeiting my rights and my own welfare at times for the welfare of my brother or sister in Christ. Walking in love means not insisting on my way or my rights or my opinion or what I'd like to do or see done or have done. Walking in love means, according to Romans chapter 14 and verse 15, not grieving my brother over some area of judgment or opinion or personal conscience. If your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. We can't walk in love and insist on our rights to the harm of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Walking in love involves following Christ's commandments and not doing things that would allow our brothers and sisters in Christ to stumble over what we have done. 2 John verse 6, this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment that you've heard from the beginning, that you walk in it. Walk according to love means doing what God said to do. Treating your brother the way God said to treat him. Following God's will for your life, for worship, for service, in the way that God has instructed. Walking in love. To walk like an Ephesian was to walk, we're to walk as children of light. We go back to Ephesians 5 again, and we look at verse 8. You were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Yes, we were once darkness. Everybody before you became a child of God and a child of light was in the darkness. We'll notice now and go back to it in a minute, but in Ephesians chapter 4, just a little bit earlier here, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." Notice, no longer walk. No longer. You were before. But no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. No longer walk in the darkness. We must rather expose the darkness with the light. Now back in Ephesians 5 and verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You're not walking in darkness. You're not sharing in those deeds, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. All things are exposed. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Whatever makes manifest is light. We must expose that which is in the darkness. We must have no fellowship, no sharing with it, no cooperation with it, no participation in it. We must understand the shame of the deeds of darkness. And I want to stop here and notice this carefully with you as well. If it's not in the light, it's in darkness. And if it's in darkness, it's shameful. It's not something to be celebrated. It's not something to be entertained by. It's not something to be talked about, like you talk about, you know, whether or not your hamburger you had for lunch was good or not. We get in our lives too much of the time allowing ourselves, instead of exposing the deeds of darkness, to be entertained by them, to talk about them, to treat them as normal, as if they were just part of the light. And they're not. And so we have whole entertainment industry in the United States of America very little of which is light. Whether you're talking about music, film, television, social media, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. If it's dark, I'm not saying all of that is all dark, but I'm saying there's a bunch of it that is. Don't have fellowship with it. There are things that are shameful you shouldn't be talking about. The contemporary English version of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 13 reads this way. The light will show what these things are really like. The light will show what these things are really like. The sinfulness of sin and the evilness of evil will be exposed by the light. Lastly, Paul tells the Ephesians to walk in wisdom. Ephesians chapter 5 now in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise but understand what the will of the Lord is. To walk in wisdom is to make the best use of our time serving the King, to realize that we have been called with a heavenly calling, that we have a purpose in our life that is heavenly, that is spiritual, and that is redeeming for us and for others. Make the best use of our time. Use our time not frivolously, not wastefully. If we need to rest, if we need some recreation, even that we use to gain strength and purpose for doing the difficult work that God has called us to do. Understanding and applying the will of the Lord. Understand what the will of the Lord is, and in wisdom apply it to your life. To walk like a saint in Ephesus was to walk. We must walk in good works and worthy of our calling and in love and as children of light and wisely as we walk in this world. To walk like a saint in Ephesus. Let's leave with this. We cannot walk like we used to walk in the world, and we cannot walk like everyone in the world walks. Do we understand that there is to be a notable difference in our lives and the lives of those in the world? We are not even going in the same direction. You once walked according to the course of this world. That's what Paul had said in Ephesians 2. One time you did, but not anymore. You've been saved by grace, is what he goes on and talks about in that section. And then, as we already saw in Ephesians 4, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Everybody's doing it is the last reason that any Christian should have to do anything. Everybody's doing it is a reason not to do it. This is how the world is. That's an excuse we make sometimes for that's how I am. That's not going to work. This is how the world is. But if we're in Christ, we cannot be that way. Thank you for your good attention this morning. As we think about our lives and where we're headed and what characterizes them day by day, what characterizes your life? These things that we've talked about this morning, or things of the world, passions of the world, concerns, busyness of the world, what characterizes your life this morning? I ask you to think about giving your life to Jesus and allowing Him to direct your walk. If we're led by the Spirit, we're sons of God. If we walk in the Spirit, we're people of God. I would ask you to make that commitment even today, accepting God's grace through faith and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Whatever your need, we'd ask you to come while we stand, while we sing the song selected.